Listeners have been contacting The Nolan Show overnight, describing the situation with our MOT centres in Northern Ireland as an absolute shambles. Now, wait for this. Essentially, the Department of Infrastructure has sent a statement through to The Nolan Show telling people that they should still turn up at most centres in Northern Ireland, but that they do not know if they will be able to deliver on that appointment. Have you ever heard the like of it in your life? Nicola Mallon is the new minister in charge. And I presume, Minister, that you understand, Nicola, that people take time off work to get their car checked, that people need their car that afternoon or the next day to pick their kids up from school. So this is a real life issue. And it's your department currently saying, well, we don't really know if we're going to be able to deliver on the appointments, but please turn up anyway. Is that good enough? The basic questions from us as a programme this morning on behalf of the listeners to this programme is, how come we have ended up with so many lifts that have suddenly got these cracks all over them in our MOT centres? So there must have been procedures, or somebody should have been looking at that before the whole system starts getting into trouble. Secondly, what has been the contingency programming now? What's the planning now? If people are having to hire cars, are they going to be compensated? Because if you are a working class person and you cannot afford a taxi to saunter around town or whatever, then you can't pick your kid up from school. You might have to hire a car. Who's going to pay for that ultimately? Is there going to be any assurance from the Department of Infrastructure that they are going to cover the costs of their cock-up? Now, the Department of Infrastructure have said in a statement to us that they're continuing to carry out checks on vehicles in its MOT test centres following the identification of these faults. They say some checks and repairs have been completed. It's anticipated that remaining inspections will be completed today. And any necessary repairs will be carried out as soon as possible. Now, read between the lines of that. So when they're telling you repairs will be carried out as soon as possible, there's no fixed timeline on that. So that's any time between now and, you know, when. La La Land. As and when the test centres have been inspected and any necessary repairs completed, says the department. So in other words, they're giving themselves an endless timeline to do the repairs. They will immediately become operational. And then here's the sting in this. They say, DVA is making every effort to contact customers to reschedule appointments. We'll prioritise customers who require an immediate test. Test centres, most of them remain open, and customers should attend their MOT appointment unless contacted by DVA. So that's the sting in this. They're essentially saying you should attend the MOT appointment unless we contact you, but we don't really know if we're then going to be able to provide the service of your MOT test. Now, they're spelling out that Boucher Road, Cookstown and New Buildings test centres are now fully operational. They're saying that Mollusc remains the only test centre not carrying out car and light vehicle tests. Heavy goods vehicles and bus tests, they say, remain unaffected. But every other test centre in Northern Ireland, if you strip back all the kind of fancy wording in their statement, they're essentially saying they're currently doing inspections. They'll try to get it done as soon as possible. But please still take the day off work at your cost. And they're not too sure whether they'll be able to deliver for you or not. A listener's contacted The Nolan Show. Here's Pamela's story.
I arrived yesterday morning at 10 to 8 yesterday morning at Coleraine Test Centre, be told that my appointment at 8:05 would not take place because of the lifts hadn't been inspected and they were not fit for purpose to use. So you
had an appointment for 8:05. You arrived on time, and that's when they're telling you they can't deliver.
I had heard on the media that Armagh had definitely been closed. Then later on that evening, there were 12 other test centres allegedly closed. This was the night before, but I wasn't contacted, so I assumed my test would take place, so I turned up with my car ready to be MOT'd for it not to go through the process.
And what did they apologise? What did they say?
There was a man came out. I was first in the queue, and there was a man came out and said, I'm sorry, we're not testing today. He took my appointment letter and my phone number, and he said someone would be in touch. Now, as yet, I've had to do all the ringing. No one has either emailed me or contacted me. My certificate expired at midnight last night, so my car is not legal on the road, although I'm fully insured, but I'm not covered by an invalid MOT or an out-of-date MOT. So my car's sitting in the driveway, pristinely polished, but going nowhere.
Look, I'm trying to imagine a scenario in my head, Pamela, where you've got all of these highly paid civil servants, right? And they're sitting there, and their job is to make sure that citizens like you are not left in a position through no fault of your own that you can't go to work, and that your car's abandoned in the driveway. And that you don't,
is exactly right.
And that you don't incur costs and end up in an MOT centre, and they know they can't provide you with a service.
That is what is so frustrating, because these lifts didn't just become unfit overnight. There's obviously a due process supposed to be followed to check for health and safety reasons that equipment works and is fully functional. Obviously, these tests have not been carried out by the powers that be. It's not the guys that work in the centre's fault. It's not the person on the end of the phone who's trying to rebook you. It's somebody higher up the line must take
ownership. That's cocked up.
They definitely have. The process has not been followed, Stephen. And I'm not the only one in this position, but it is so frustrating that the fact there's no timeline to this. I don't know when my car will be back on the road. Nobody can. They won't rebook my test because they don't know when they can rebook it for.
But that's the story. The story is it's always the person at the bottom that's screwed. That's the story. The story is you're now left without a car.
Exactly. And I mean, I prepared my car for MOT. I got it. My mechanic last weekend fully prepared it for me. I got a new tyre. I got it washed, underwashed, overwashed, all at expense, for them not to provide me with the service that I paid for, because they haven't held up their end of the bargain that their equipment is fully fit to test my car.
So what are you going to do? What things can't you do in your life without your car? I'd be lost without my car.
I've borrowed my mother-in-law's car, which is fortunate. I'm in the position I can do that. But she'll need her car. I have her car now till Sunday. And just day-to-day things, Stephen. Everybody needs their car. It's something
big time. Of course we do.
Yeah, we all need our car. Yeah. And it's something that, whether you need it to go to work, whether you need it to go and walk the dog in the forest, you're entitled, if you have prepared your car for a legal process of MOT, you're entitled to get that service provided to you. And whose ever fault it is, nobody seems to know whose fault it is.
Uh-huh.
I don't know.
Of course not.
It's so frustrating. And the general public, I mean, if you look at any Facebook or anything, everybody is in the same position. And I also checked if I could hire a car, and at their expense, to which I was told absolutely not by the girl on the end of the phone. The only thing I'm entitled to is half of my £30.50 that I paid for my booking. Half of that will be refunded to me if I claim it through a form on their customer
half
service.
Half of it?
Half of it.
So they can't deliver the service, and they're charging you half because they can't deliver the service.
Yes, absolutely. That's what I'm entitled to. But I have to claim it through their customerservices.com website or something.
Well, so the elements of this story are easy to spell out, and they are as follows. Who didn't do their... How come we have all of these lifts now across Northern Ireland and MOT centres? The cracks didn't develop overnight. So who wasn't inspecting them properly at the time? Secondly, once they've known there is a problem, beyond saying to citizens in Northern Ireland, well, you're screwed now, you're left without a car, what's the planning? Why is there not clear compensatory advice as to what you can get? Why can't you hire a car at their cost? If it's their cock-up, their screw-up, why can't you? Why aren't they paying for car hire costs for everyone that's now left without a vehicle? And the other basic question for anybody that's normal is, when can I get my car back in the road? What are these people saying? What are these big suits saying about that? What's the planning around it?
Absolutely. And I know they say, we apologise for the inconvenience. Apologies are no use to people that can't go anywhere.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, look, leave this with us. Obviously, we're banging the drum. And we're trying to get answers out of them. And thank you for talking to us.
No problem, Stephen.
All the best. Thank you. A good day. Bye-bye. Lots of you responding to this already. 0303 80 55 55. I guess this is the test of Nicola Mallon as a new minister. This is the first issue where she might have to get involved. This is a test of how she will react when she's hearing that her department are involved in this cock-up. Look, they're trying to sort a problem. I get that. But for example, the minister's new department has docked. I want you all to know one of the questions that the Department for Infrastructure has simply ducked and refused to answer from the Nolan Show. And it is this. Is there a grace period for those who have an expiring MOT in the coming days who were scheduled for a test appointment today or in the days ahead? Now, what I would say to the new minister, Nicola Mallon, is why on earth would your department duck that question? Like, why would you not answer that question? If there is no grace period, just tell people. But it's on the minds of citizens. And what, you know, these are, people don't have lawyers and people don't have enough money to go on and find out the answers to this. And they shouldn't need to be ringing the police and ringing their insurance company because they're out working. So I would appeal to the Department of Infrastructure this morning, for goodness sake, just be open and clear with the public. And you got the question from the Nolan Show yesterday, you chose to duck it, so I'll publicly ask it again. Is there a grace period for those people who have an expiring MOT in the coming days, who were scheduled for a test appointment today or in the days ahead, and through no fault of their own, the Department of Infrastructure can't deliver the service? And we've put a secondary question in within the last few seconds to the department. Are they prepared to cover reasonable costs incurred by honest citizens who need to hire a car or who incur other costs because they are cancelling the service? 0303 80 55 55. I'm sure you can predict what's happening here. Every line into the BBC now ringing with people with real life problems around this. Kenny, morning to you, Kenny. Go ahead, Kenny.
I was wrong yesterday. My van was up for PSV and then it was on the PSV centre. And it was a fella and he says, "You Mr. Fry?" I says, "Aye." He says, "Well," he says, your van is not going through tomorrow. It's cancelled and we'll send you out word in 3 or 4 days' time." And he says, "You'll get a wee bit of compensation for them, you know, not getting her up."
How do you feel about this, Kenny?
Well, it means you take time off again to go and get your van PSV'd and so on and arrange the whole thing. And your van's going to be sitting, the PSV's up on her in the 20th. And I'm going to be sitting my van taxed and no way of working her because I can't take her out onto the road.
Yeah, and meanwhile, the Department of Infrastructure is saying in a statement, essentially, they've put nice words around it, but essentially saying they'll do the repairs as soon as possible. But, you know, do you know when that means? You know, they must have planning. They must be able to say to themselves, well, look, the repairs are likely to take 1 day, 2 days, a week, 2 weeks, whatever. But you're not being told.
Like, if they had a vehicle and it takes an insured and doesn't know when you're going to be able to put it again, would they like it?
Kenny, thank you very much. The commentator, Brendan McGrew, joining us this morning. You know, we're in real local government now, Brendan, and if these ministers want the titles, then they say that they're delivering for ordinary local people. Here's an ordinary local real issue. People abandoning their cars because they can't legally use them.
Yeah, Stephen, there's two things that jump out, and you've covered both of them. First of all, is how did this situation arise? It does seem odd, or certainly unusual, that so many of the lifts are deemed to be unsafe at the same time. But you know, if they are unsafe, they need repaired. I think we all accept nobody wants to either staff to operate in an unsafe environment or customers' cars to an unsafe environment. So that needs to be sorted out. But there is a question around how we got to that situation, and you know, I'm sure Nicola Mallon will be looking into all of that. And the second question then, setting that to one side of how we got there, is I just think there was a bad breakdown in communication yesterday. There seemed to be drip feed updates on social media, and it seemed to be MLAs and local councillors were finding out bits of information and being able to post things online about what centres were open and what centres weren't open, what centres were half open. So I think there's as much a communication issue here as there is how we got into this situation. And both of those things should be looked at, and both of those things should be delivered better. That whole question...
The million-dollar question this morning is... Sorry, I've been in America too long. The important question this morning is, why on earth would they not compensate motorists who have to go out and hire a car or incur reasonable costs through their screw-up? Why would they not do that?
Yeah, well, you know, I'm glad I'm not in that situation simply because my car is not due for its MOT around this time. But, yeah, some people are inconvenienced, but I'm not sure, Stephen, how practical it is to start giving people the green light to go and hire a car. I mean, who judges how long you need the car hired for, what kind of car do you need to hire, what size of car do you need to hire? That's, you know, there is an inconvenience here for people. There's no question with that. You've heard that from a couple of people this morning. But sometimes in life, you are a wee bit inconvenienced by something, and you put up with it, and you borrow your mother-in-law's car, or you sit tight and wait for your test to be carried out, and you get on with it. If I was in that situation, that's what I would do. And I think opening up the whole issue of hiring cars, I can see how, just logistically, how that would be a very, very difficult thing to administer. And I actually can understand why officials in the Department of Infrastructure wouldn't want to go down that road. I'm not even sure legally they'd have the means to cover that.
Well, they must have found out so they could answer it. They must have found out. They must have asked themselves the question. Well, look, is there any grace period? You know, the police must have an answer around that. They've got the lawyers. Somebody somewhere needs to tell people whether there could legally be any discretion for a grace period. And Brendan, the other point I'd make to you is, do you know who this affects? This doesn't affect the most wealthy in our society that get their car changed once every 3 years, who are on those cycles of, you know, you get your car changed every couple of years. This affects people who can't afford to do so.
Oh, I wouldn't for one second diminish the impact that this has on people, especially those who are car reliant. And as I say, you know, my MOT is not due until later on in the summer, thankfully, so I'm not directly affected by that. So I wouldn't for a second diminish the impact it has on people. The question of grace period, I'm assuming, Stephen, to be honest, that's actually an issue for, that's a legal issue for at least to address. And I did hear.
Yeah, but they've got the lawyers. They've got the lawyers. So the police have got lawyers. The Department of Infrastructure, this is a government issue, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
So just tell us.
I would assume, from a layman's point of view, I would assume there is no grace period because we all know the legal situation of driving either with no insurance, no tax, or no
absolutely. MOTs. No, as we stand, to be clear, as we stand here now, there absolutely is no grace period. And if people don't have their cars MOT'd, it would be illegal to have them on the road. The question I'm asking is, does the Assembly or local government have a discretionary power to create a grace period so that people can get to work?
Well, and that's a challenge for the Assembly. They're not going to address it this morning, unfortunately. If they're going to do it legislatively, it would be the earliest they get that be next week. And let's face it, let's hope these issues are resolved before it gets to that stage. It does seem to me, albeit in a drip feed way, that there are more centres open now than are closed. And I do think that the big fault here lies in the way all this has been communicated.
Okay. Brendan, listen, thank you very much indeed. Let's hear from people around the country now being affected by this. Robert in Belfast. Morning, Robert.
Good morning, Stephen. It's the old adage, really, who shall guard the guards, you know. The MOT Centre are charged with a duty of care, responsibility to make sure that we comply with the law. But they obviously do not maintain their equipment. You know, so I mean, who's going to challenge them? Only yourself, like. Anyway, the point I wanted to make was...
I didn't think of the point you've just made. So there's an irony here, isn't there, that everybody that's attending an MOT centre, it's the MOT centre's checking if you've kept everything up to date and properly working, while their very equipment is cracking.
They're guilty of gross negligence and a breach of duty of care. Also, there's another consideration which people wouldn't even be thinking about. A majority of people who drive now without an MOT, actually their insurance doesn't cover them. And I only discovered that recently myself. And I've been driving for 65 years and have a clean driving licence, in case you're going to ask. But I'm looking through my insurance renewal thing, and I see that I'm not covered for insurance if I'm not MOT'd. So where does that place the ordinary punter who relies on the insurance company and puts their trust in them? That's another chink in the average working man's armour. You know, another means of stabbing them, you know, because insurance is going up every year. And my insurance has trebled in the last 10 years. I had a comprehensive insurance. And when I wanted to change it to third party, they charged him the same money. You know, so we're getting screwed from every direction. And then we have a government agency at it as well.
Robert, thank you. Peter in Belfast. Morning, Peter.
Well, Steve, what I'm thinking of, my friend has bought a 6-month-old car and he put up for PSV and it was cancelled. So he'll not be able to work because he can't take a chance because we have no insurance. And the most sad thing is, if he did put a sign up to go out to work, you'd find it the DVLA enforcement branch if you're on, like, they'd be on him right away because he hadn't got the PSV. He still have to pay his double rent, so he's not lost his £70 a day earnings, you know, and everything else. It's not the company's fault, they're going to have to collect their money. And what happens if some man lifts your suspension and move about a bit? What happens if the lift, what's wrong with the lift, showing a wee bit of variation, which makes a difference between you failing the test and passing? You know, they put it on and move it about. They could come back and say, you know, your suspension's wrong, but it's actually the lift's the fault.
Look, they're all real life questions, Peter. Absolutely. And the other point I'm banging on about this morning, they are literally telling people to still turn up to the MOT centres, knowing that they will not be able to cover the appointment for some of them.
Yeah, well, they're actually putting people out of work. You know, at the end of the day, and the funny, you're going to a place that checks to make sure your car's fit to be on the road and their stuff's not fit to be doing the test with.
Where's the minister?
Well, they'll probably hide. Okay, Stephen, thank you.
Thank you very much. I doubt Nicola Mann's hiding, but where is the minister and where are the answers to our very reasonable questions? The very reasonable question of, are you going to compensate citizens who, through no fault of their own, are now incurring costs? If someone has to pick their kid up from school at 3:30 and they have to hire a car because of the MOT centre cock-up, how does a working class mother pay for the hire of that car? And should she be paying for it? Or ultimately, should this local government be taking responsibility for one of their cock-ups? Now, Carmel Gates is joining us from the union, NHPSA. You're striking today. Your members are striking today, Carmel. And does this affect MOT centres?
It does, yes. Stephen, we have members out. We have both the testers, the actual guys who do the work, and mainly our guys. And then we have, obviously, the office staff as well. So, and this strike has been organised for some time. The fact that it coincides with what's happening in the test centres, obviously, is just coincidental. But our members have taken this is the third day of full strike action that we've taken because of pay cuts over 10
so
years.
So are the MOT centres significantly affected by these strikes, are they? Their ability?
Yeah, all the testers are NHPSA members, and all the office staff are NHPSA members. So I would like to think that they will be absolutely closed. I know that some of them have been closed because of the work with the lifts, but I would like to think they're all closed today, and that there's no vehicle being tested at all.
Well, you say you'd like to think that, but I would put it to you that that would be nigh on impossible. You must be wrong for the following reason. The Department of Infrastructure have put out a statement telling the public that all of these centres are open today. And not mentioning the strike and encouraging people to turn up for appointments.
The department are obliged to tell people it's business as usual on a strike day, Stephen. We know that. I mean, that happens across the piece. I mean, in the health and elsewhere, it says we want business as usual. So they're not going to acknowledge the strike is affecting things. But
it's not business as usual if there are no testers.
Of course. I know. But you know, departments are never going to acknowledge that the strike action is having an impact. Despite the fact that they know that it is having an impact. But that's normal, of course, Stephen.
Well, I don't think that is normal. I do not think it's normal. And I think the vast majority of people listening this morning would think it is unacceptable for the public to be told, you know, everything's as normal if actually a strike action is leading to all the testers not being there. Like I repeat again, you know, people get childcare or people take time off work in order to go to these test centres. We'll put a question into we'll put a question into the Department of Infrastructure. They'll be busy today. Basically asking them, this statement that they've issued us, telling us that all these centres are open. There's Boucher Road, they've told us, Cookstown and New Buildings test centres are now fully operational. Mm-hmm. We'll ask them if they're fully operational today.
Yes. Well, I expect that they're not, because those members have been solid in the last day, so I would imagine they will be again today and they'll not be in work. They're very angry over the pay, Stephen. I know that obviously the story you're covering is about the fault with the lift, but our members are very angry over pay cuts that have been going on for 10 years. So we want the Minister to take notice. We want all the departments to take notice that the people that they employ have lost any goodwill that they had in keeping services running. We don't want to harm the public. That is absolutely not our...
Yeah, well, you say that, but Carmel, are you and your members holding the country to ransom now? Pay up or we're not going to work?
Well, Stephen, it gets to the stage where as workers we deserve to be treated decently. Civil servants have kept the country going for the last 3 years, and what we have to show for it is a 20% pay cut. So there is a time when respect and dignity are required, and we believe that civil servants need to be treated with the respect and dignity they deserve. We've covered the fact that MLAs have given themselves an inflationary pay rise.
They haven't. Independent panel, and the majority of them have rejected it. So they haven't given themselves a pay rise. In fact, all of them have rejected the pay increase.
You'll recall that an independent panel suggested a pay increase for the health service, which wasn't implemented by the Assembly, so they can be reasonably choosy when they decide to be. But the key issue for us is that we haven't had an inflationary pay rise for 10 years, and our members are angry in every area.
Okay.
Across the agriculture, across infrastructure, across communities, our members are saying enough is enough.
Carmel, thank you very much indeed. Loads of you calling us about this. Back to more of your calls. We're trying to get more answers and clarity for you from the Department for Infrastructure this morning. Where's the Minister? Morning, Martin.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning, Stephen. I'm going to sue the Minister and the DVA.
You're going to sue them?
Yeah, I'm going to take a claim to the Small Claims Court for this fiasco. I work on a zero-hour contract. And I was offered work yesterday afternoon whenever I had to go to take my car for a scheduled and paid for test. When I arrived there, I was turned away and told to be contacted with a new test date. My MOT certificate has now expired. My insurers can't give me any clarity as to whether or not my car is still insured to be used. And my wife and I both need to use the car. And I turned down work yesterday afternoon because I had booked and paid for an MOT test. So I lost out, in a way, because they turned me away. Whenever they could have, as they said in the news a few days beforehand, they could have contacted me to say that my test was not going to go ahead.
Yeah.
And I could then have taken that work.
I think there will be some people this morning suggesting that, look, you know, I'm trying to make a mountain out of a molehill out of this, you know,
No, you're not.
And giving them too hard a time. But the reality is, for someone like yourself, Martin, and I please God, I'm not sounding patronising because I don't mean to be, but for someone like yourself on a 0 hours contract, you know, when you've got any government body essentially not giving you firm, clear answers as to when your means of getting to work will be back up and going again, like that amount of money that's costing you is significant.
It's significant to me. It's not a great deal of money, but you know, every little helps, as Tesco say. It is
exactly
to me. It's important to me.
I get it.
You said something earlier that's very, very right. This is not affecting the wealthy. It's affecting ordinary people who need their vehicles to go about their day-by-day business.
Yeah.
And it's all very well to say, oh, you should have had your test done well in time before it expired. But hey, you know what? Yesterday's date and time was what I could get with what was available that suited my schedule. So you don't really necessarily get to pick and choose exactly when you want your test date.
Well, look, we're currently talking to the department. We're doing our best to get clearer answers from them.
Have you got through to them? Because I can't.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. No, we get through to them, and they have been responding to us, but they've been ducking some of our questions, and you know,
of course,
we're trying to put that right.
I've just put a test date for my motorcycle, whose certificate expires on the 23rd of February, and the only test date I can get for that bike between now and then is the 22nd of February. So the argument that I should have the MOT done well before it expires doesn't hold water, because there's not a date available for me before the expiration date.
Martin, thank you. Lee's a warm point. Morning, Lee.
Hey, Stephen. People should use this as a catalyst to do their test early. You know, everyone seems to be between 1 and 2 days before their test expires, and therefore if something like this happens, or even if your car fails, you're off the road. But the DVA have actually got a process in place where if you do test your car early, you don't lose your time. So if you test your car, I think it's within 4 to 8 weeks. I think it's actually 6 weeks. If you test your vehicle 6 weeks early, you don't lose them 6 weeks. You get your full 12 months plus your 6 weeks. Do you understand?
No, I do.
So therefore, if something happens, say, for example, like this, or remember a number of years ago where the test centers went on strike, you know, you're covered. You still have tests. Although this is purely the fault of the DVA, there's no doubt about that. But
well, there's the obvious elephant in the room here, and I don't know the details around it, right? But I think a fair question on the minds of quite a few of us will be: look, we're actually relying on the expertise of these MOT centres to be able to spot faults on our car, right? How come they didn't spot faults in their own lifts that they were using every day until now? And I think that's a fair question.
One of them unanswered questions.
Listen, thank you. Morning, John in Newton Arch. Morning, John.
Morning, Stephen. How are you?
Doing okay today. Thank you.
Listen, mate, the answer to this puzzle is straight in the face. I mean, all these test centres test heavy goods vehicles, buses, which are brought in over a pit. It's still the same test, and just work 24/7. Do all these cars that can't get their test done, put them over the pit, test them, and put them through. You know, it's before the lifts were brought in, every one of the lanes had a pit, and then they brought the lifts in. I mean, I've been testing vans and cars for 30 years, and it's the exact same test. So the pit's never used except for buses and heavy goods vehicles. Just use them for cars and test the vehicles. That's it, Doug.
Thank you, mate. Thank you, mate. Graham in Belfast. Morning, Graham.
Morning, Stephen. Stephen, your last caller there was saying about the pit, but there's normally only one pit in each of the MOT centres. I think it'd probably be a better idea to go to some of the big hire companies, and they could hire forklifts and forklift drivers just for an emergency period of maybe a day or two or whatever it takes. Maybe that's the simplest way forward.
And thank you, Graham. Freddie in Cookstown, then we're going to move on. Morning, Freddie.
How's she going?
Go ahead, Freddie. I'll
tell you what, I was the man on there, he used my what I was going to say. They have ample time. They had the car MOT. You have 6 weeks, and we wait the 11th hour, and then you're coming down and blaming the MOT man. But on even actually yesterday evening, they said that them faults were diagnosed in December, and they're trying to get them sorted out. If the people had walked on and some of them MOT men were killed. Now, I'm a lorry driver, and I ain't any fan of the DVLA because they try and crucify the lorry man every day of the week. But the same thing...
Well, what they're trying to do, obviously, is keep your vehicle safe and spot faults that might endanger your safety, and it's their job to do so.
That's right, but they try and crucify the lorry man out on the road all the time. But anyway, if some of them boys were killed in the test centre, they'd be a far bigger thing. And then a car failing the test.
Absolutely. But, look, there's no one suggesting that any member of staff should be putting themselves at risk. The questions here are all around information. The questions here are around information that should be coming and needs to come from the Department for Infrastructure. Are they prepared to compensate citizens of this country who are incurring costs through no fault of their own, who have no choice but to hire a car? It's
but
their cock up.
If they tested the car soon enough, why wait to the last minute? If you had tested the car soon enough, even the car failed the test, you have ample time to get the car retested and walk away. As the previous caller said, if your car fails the test, you're still insured to get your car done. So why wait till the day that the car's test is up and then try and look compensation? That's just, this country all over, look compensation. Look compensation, the handy way out.
Freddie, thank you very much indeed, and we'll let you know if we get any further answers.